In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last night we sang of Christ at the Vespers. You came to Lazarus, O Lord, and called him by name, that your disciples might know of the truth of your resurrection. Jesus left his good friend Lazarus die so that he could reveal that death was now asleep, that it was not the end. Now they don't understand the things that are about to happen. It's amazing the degree to which no one changes because of the resurrection of a man 4 days dead. Everyone remains as they were. And yet everything has changed. The promised King, the Son of God, has come and shown that the enemy, death, means nothing to him. It is for him to be able to raise those who have died. He has all authority over heaven and earth. But people have no understanding. Not then. They are not able. But we have understanding. This 2 days of Lazarus Saturday and Palm Sunday are not the first days of the Passion Play. They are not the Passion Play that was worked out and developed and became one of the roots of drama in Europe. They are not the Passion Play whose tradition is kept on in Hollywood, in the theaters, where people go and they watch the story that some people even think that we enact during Holy Week. But this is not the first day of the Passion Play in the Orthodox Church. We who are Orthodox Christians are those whom death has passed over. Death has no authority or control over us. We are enabled to live a life that is not controlled by the presence of death in the world because it has been destroyed. Putting Christ's destruction of the authority and the success and the materialism of this world to an end is not something that we can just take as Orthodox Christians and place at a distance from ourselves so that we can be observers and watch it play out. Now, if our theology was that the accomplishment of Christ is simply by all of the things that he did, becoming incarnate, coming into the world, doing the miracles, raising Lazarus from the dead, showing that he is going to be able to rise from the dead himself, and then finally rising from the dead in our humanity, ascending into heaven and sending power of the Holy Spirit upon us so that we don't, after we have lived a life devoted to the values and the ways of this world, because we are fallen after all, and so that's what you can expect, after that, when we die, we won't be damned. If we believed that, then it would be fine to make Holy Week into a passion play. But that's not what we believe. We believe that we are the people of God whom death has passed over. Like the Passover in Egypt, but new and different, where death passed over the people of Israel and only touched those who were devoted to this world. They lost their firstborn, but the people of Israel did not. The new Passover that we are participants in by way of our baptism, by way of our repentance, returning to our baptism and our communion with the source of life, death has passed over us and has no authority over us. We are able to go and live in the world, a life that comes directly from God. Now the people with Lazarus, they were not able to see that yet, but we see it. And let's not put ourselves in the place of those people before the crucifixion and resurrection and make believe we're in a play. Make believe, wouldn't it be much more effective if we didn't know what was going to happen at the end of Holy Week? And Pascha was a surprise, but we have known from the beginning of Lent that we were on our way to Pascha. It is our purpose to become more full participants in the life that Pascha gives to us. That was the purpose for Great Lent. Not to make a show, not to make a passion play, and then have the enjoyment of putting ourselves in the place of characters in a play, pretending that this is a performance for our enjoyment. And then at the end, there is a feast. We know about the struggle between the forces of this world and the forces of nobility and purity and good and truth that St. Paul spoke of, that we heard read of in his letter to the Philippians. There is a struggle, a battle to the death between the two of them. Oftentimes, the meaning of our life is stolen away by our participation unwisely in the things of this world that in the end will pass away. We betray the best things for the things that are of the least value. And all of that will get its due during the coming week. During Holy Week, we will see the powerful and the successful die. We will see them dying in their lack of power. That's what's happening during Holy Week. From a worldly point of view, it looks like they are putting the Son of God to death, killing him. He is the victim. If you go to a movie, that's what you'll see. And we have an emotional feeling of sorrow for the victim, poor Jesus, who is being put to death for my sins. An emotional spirituality that protects us from the reality of the fact that we are participants in this struggle between good and evil during the course of our lives, and that the King has already won, and that the victory is his and ours. But we don't go and live that victory. We don't go and live that life. Instead, we continue to play games. When I was a child, I had a big toy box. I'm sure it wouldn't look as big to me now as it did when I was a child, but it was awfully big, and there were an awful lot of things in it, and it was piled up to the top, and everything was confused in there because I would go and look for something, and everything's in a box, you know. You root through it and the small things fall to the bottom and everything gets confused. But every once in a while, my parents would insist that I clean things up. Well, everything had to go into that box. The box was full and there was still lots of things all over the room. So there was only one way to do it. You had to dump everything in the box out of the box onto the floor, get a trash can, throw the things away that needed to be thrown away, organize the things that were left, and carefully put them into the box one by one. And as I did that, I would find all of the little figurines that I played with, even when I was a younger child, my Fort Apache set with the frontiersmen and the Indians and the little cannon that would shoot a little tiny cannonball and knock over the Indians if you tried about 40 times. And the things that I would play with in there, I would go back into my younger years as a child, and where this was the hero, this was the toy, and this was me, and I was against all the rest of those, and I would set up scenarios and dramas, and you know how we used to play when we were kids. Anybody who hasn't had a chance to play like that, you haven't been a child. Maybe you should just sneak to a quiet place and get to do some of it. Well, you know, people do that these days. They have probably a different name for it now, but when my kids were growing up, it was Dungeons and Dragons, and it was electronic. But it was the same thing that I was doing with my little figurines. And we do that with Holy Week. We make it into a game. We make our lives into a game. We have our little ego toys that we play games with and show off for others. One of the best toys I had was the Pinocchio. You know, I went to see Pinocchio when I was a kid, loved that movie. Still, it's a very important story, you know, about becoming a real person. But the Pinocchio that I got, of course, it was a real marionette, it was on strings. And it's great. We make the marionette dance. make his feet jump, make his hands move, and make his head turn. This is what we do with our false ego toy in the world. We show others a false self that is a toy, our ego. Make it kick high. Look what I can do. Look at all that I have. Look at all my toys well organized in this world that I am the king of. And here I am. I can dance. I can be bold. I can do things that will astound everyone. Isn't this how we like to present ourselves to others? And if anyone points out that there is some shortcoming, then we're offended. We're offended on behalf of this false toy ego that we have created. This is no way for us to live our lives. As Orthodox Christians, we know that Holy Week is not a passion play where we participate by pretending. The forces of evil are arrayed during Holy Week, and they do their worst, but we already know that Christ has the power over death. There was maybe no way that they could think about those things and understand them before the coming of the Holy Spirit, but we have been baptized. We go to repentance. We go to confession. We reject a loyalty to the false values of the world. We come and we receive communion, and we have for years. And so when we see these things, we know. This is a time, Lazarus Saturday and Palm Sunday, before the time of the Pascha. All of the events of Holy Week are tied to the Pascha. Everything that happens during Holy Week, we should see in the light of the resurrection so that we can see things as they actually are, so that we can see the foolishness of those who believe that they can destroy God in order to maintain themselves and play with their little ego toys. They are the fools. Christ is not the victim. He has already shown that he is the one who can destroy the enemy. On the day when, as we heard in the reading from the Gospel according to St. John this morning, Jesus sits down at the table with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, who had been 4 days dead in the tomb and now is sitting down to table to eat along with Jesus Christ. This is already the Divine Liturgy. Eating and drinking at his table. It's not just the Last Supper in the upper room that should remind us of eating and drinking at his table. Everything has changed on that day because Christ has revealed his power and authority over death. He has shown that for him, death is just a sleep. We are told in the hymnography that this is so his disciples will know that he will arise, and that death is not the end. Are we not his disciples? Are we not his followers? Do we not know that in the end, we will be raised as Lazarus was raised, not to live in this world, but to live in a new heaven and a new earth? This is the revelation of that fact to his disciples and to all of us. It's a reminder to us. On these holy days of Lazarus Saturday and Palm Sunday, death has passed over us, and we will arise from every touch of death in our life. There are two things that we know. Whatever we might do that is not Christ-like, whenever we have touched death by missing the mark, sinning in some way, we can go and return to our baptism, to the source of life that comes from Christ, who has destroyed the power of death forever. And so we can keep ourselves in Christ. We do things that are disgusting, things that are beneath Christ, but we reject them and we begin to move toward him and change and become more and more like him. That is the life that God has given us to live. That is the meaning of the living of our life in the world. And the other thing that we can know is that even though death will take every single one of us, we will sit at that table as Lazarus, who was dead 4 days in the tomb and whose body had already begun to break down and return into the earth. And yet he sat at that table along with Christ and along with his sisters, Martha and Mary, the one who served and the other who poured the ointment on his head. They had not changed, but it is for us to change. We are participating in the celebration of these events as the events that have given us our salvation. We can't afford to take them and put them at a distance from us, as though we are just observers. We are participants in the outcome, in the ultimate accomplishment that all of these events took place in order to secure for us. We are participants in an eternal life that has already begun for us. Martha and Mary were as they were before, for that time being, sitting there, but faithful to Christ. But there is one person at that gathering that will not know the resurrection. He too has not changed. Even after he has seen Christ raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, all he can think of are the values of this world. Judas Iscariot, who wanted Christ to take what he saw simply from his eyes that were of this world, wanted Christ to take the power that he saw that he had and use it to affirm Judas's own values, the values of this world. He's still involved in the politics of the world. Oh, he can do this. He needs to do this and follow this path, and then everything will go our way. And this woman pouring this ointment on his head. Why was this ointment not sold for money? He hasn't got a clue. Don't let us be clueless, even though we're Orthodox Christians. Don't let us think that our Orthodox faith is some kind of power that we can use in order to affirm and achieve success according to the values of the world. If we believe in the values of the world, if we believe in the values of those who persecute Christ and put him on the cross, the ones who we, knowing as Orthodox Christians, that they are the ones who are dying, if we stand along with them, then we, just the same as Judas was, will be the only ones who will not be at the table in the kingdom. He is the only one that death still has in its grasp. In the end, death will take him, as it takes every human being. But while all of those who follow Christ will be released to the resurrection, death will take Judas, and it will hold him. It will keep him, because his faith is in the values of this world. And the lesson for us is for us to experience Holy Week and Pascha after this preparation spiritually that we have just done, not by placing it at a distance so that we can remain aligned with the world, observing this interesting drama. That's what we do when we do that. We'll end up like Judas if our values are the values of the world. It's not a game. It's not playing with toys. It's not about showing off our toy egos or enjoying a performance. It is about the celebration of the one who is the King. Where the King is, there is the kingdom. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem, the kingdom has come to the city of David. The kingdom itself has entered. The King has come to destroy the ultimate enemy, death. And we know that our lives are not under the authority of death. We know that we are those who are among the people of God whom death has passed over. If only we could remember that during the course of our living, of our lives in the world, we would have so much more strength when we were tempted to reach out and touch the fruits of death that turn us away from the life that God has come to give us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.